If you'd open up with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I saw our brother John and his wife in the hallway there, and it's good to see you. It shocked me there for a second because I was thinking of something else, and when I saw your face, it did. You know, I'm only 51, but it does take a while to get the computer running, you know, when you see, haven't seen a face there for a while. So it's great to have you here with us tonight. This is a prayer meeting, and I thought, as I was meditating on what to bring tonight, the Lord laid this passage on my heart here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which ye command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Gives us a command. Pray for us. And I think of the Apostle Paul as he went from place to place. He needed prayer, didn't he? Here's the great apostle who went into the far reaches of the land, and he said, pray for us. Pray for us. I don't know about you, but as you seek to serve the Lord, it's not easy, is it? There's days when there's more discouragement than other days. You have up days and down days. And this week, since I've been back, I've been on the phone with his one brother in Peru. Some weeks ago, I showed you the slides and I asked you to pray for this brother. His wife was, 9 months pregnant, just about ready to have the baby. Well, she had the baby. The baby's not well. His feet were turned, I think it's called club feet, where the feet are turned in. This brother's going through a tremendous amount of heartache. Lord, what do you want from this? No, he believes, he's trusting the Lord, but he lives up in the mountains in Peru, and it takes him 8 hours on a bus to get all the way to Lima. So here you have a little baby. He's got from his hip to his ankle, all the way through his foot, actually, in a cast. Yeah, cast. I'm thinking, yes, a cast. So he's cast it up. He says when he gets him on the bus, he cries all the 8 hours down. Yeah. Well, this is a brother who, been saved out of drugs in Spain. Now he's in Peru. He was having this wonderful ministry in the prison. He had 27 people doing Emmaus courses every week. Well, he's going through some struggles. His name is Juan Carlos, and a little baby's name is Israel. So you can't forget that name, Israel, okay? I'd ask you to pray for him. Because you see, what Paul is saying here is, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. It's pray for us so that we can use the word of God and it could just move. Do you know what happened in the last week in Africa? Over 30 missionaries were expelled from Morocco. 30. They left one orphanage high and dry. They took all 10 people and kicked them out of the country, and those 30-something orphans on the street. Yeah. We said, Morocco is probably one of the most liberal Muslim countries that's out there. And yet they decided, I don't know for what reason, this last week, 30-something missionaries, boom, back. And one of those was an assembly missionary from Canada who had been in the country for over 20 years. Well, Paul says, pray that the word of God will move. Okay, that's what he's talking about there in verse 1. And that the word of God would be glorified, that it would be high and lifted up. You know, we live in a world that the Word of God, it's just another book. And not only that, it's a book that's got all sorts of errors, mistakes. It's not worthy to be read. That's a fallacy. It's the best book in the world. I remember when I was in college and I finally got the courage to start reading it. It revolutionized my life. I thought, what a great book. It became the book in my life. And Paul is saying here, listen, pray for us that we will be able to send the word, that the word will go from there to there, just moving back and forth, that as we go to different places, that the word of God will be glorified, that people would take and say, why didn't I read this sooner? Why shouldn't I obey it and do what it says? That's what we should be praying. I hope that you pray for us in Spain for that. And I tell you right now, our co-worker in Spain, he's discouraged. He's discouraged. And I'd ask you to pray for him. We're having ample ministry. When you have ample ministry and the ministry is going forward, the enemy is so astute to start throwing darts at you to discourage you. That's the reality. I can see that in Paul's life. He's saying, pray, pray, and more prayer. Yeah. And then look at verse 2. And this is a reality. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So pray for us for three things. That the word of God has free course, that the word of God be glorified, and third, that the word of God, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And I tell you what, I would include that as far as nations. What I don't know what's going on in Morocco. But right now, in a lot of these different places where the word of God is going out, where it's had free course, they're pulling it back in. They're pulling it back in. And we'd ask you to pray. I know one of the brothers that's been ousted from Morocco. Lovely brother. Married to a Swiss gal. Several kids. He's had, you know, he's opened up a business there. So they've tried to kick him out some years ago and they couldn't. And this time they just, boom, kicked out. There's a missionary gal from Madrid. She was kicked out several months ago. Just tell, leave. That's it. You're done. Okay? We have freedom in this country. Many times we don't use our freedom to witness. You know, we got tracts, radio. We have all sorts. And sometimes we just take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. I don't know when it's going to hit here. The day may come when we may not be having those opportunities, those privileges, those freedoms. But I tell you, when you go look at other countries, that it's hard to be able to witness. Here it's not. But here Paul is saying, pray for us that we would be delivered from unreasonable men. That the word of God would be able to run its course, that there would be amplitude of going, you know? I'd ask you to pray for a Bible study that started actually last week, but officially today. Our sister Elizabeth, Roberto's wife, and Carolyn started a Bible study with this Mexican couple that was here Sunday night. Okay? Pray for him. His name is Celso. It's like seltzer, but Celso. Start with a C and drop the R. Celso, like seltzer, Celso. And his wife is Lise. Okay? It's possible she's a believer. She grew up in a Baptist background. Okay? But they're open. They're open to study the Word of God. And guess what? I guarantee you what's going to happen as soon as they start studying the Word of God. People are going to come into the life of this fella, the life of this girl, and say, oh, don't go and listen to Elizabeth. Don't listen to Carolyn. You know it's going to happen. I've been around a lot, enough now that why does Paul say pray that people are not unreasonable? Because what happens is you start to witness, you start to have problems. Talk to Michael and Carrie with the kids club. As soon as you start trying to get some action going with the kids, the lessons, I don't know, you just get to the Word of God, at that point, bang. Also, you know, things just break out, don't they? The kids start talking, they start fighting, because the kids, there's an enemy behind all that, isn't there? And we want to witness, don't we? We want to see those kids saved. I tell you what, it's better to see a kid saved at 12 than at 22 after he's lived a life of drugs and all that mess. Because when I'm in prison and I see these guys, their lives are messed up. But it's going to happen. He tells you, Paul says, pray that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. There's all sorts of confusion out there. And Paul's saying that God would deliver us. As I'm going out there to witness, you know, we're working in the prison there in Spain. And I keep praying, Lord, keep us in here. Because I tell you what, it's door to door. I mean, we don't have any room to get any more people in that Bible study. And when, you know, you start seeing blessing, the authorities start to clamp down and they start doing this and start doing, as long as nothing's going on, just leave them there. And I can see it happening. But our prayer is, because I follow the direction here, pray that people would be protected from this and this and this. And he goes on in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. What assurance. Isn't that wonderful? Anytime anything happens in our life, we know God is faithful. He is there for us, isn't he? He's there. And he said, there's two things he says. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He will establish you. He will confirm you, give you that affirmation. And if you jump up to chapter 2 and verse 16, and we'll read through 17, it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you, affirm you in every good word and work. Is that what you want? I want to be affirmed in every good word and every good work. And God is faithful. God wants to do that in us. He wants to be able to give you the words to be able to have good words for people, good works so that people can see them. Why? Because why do we do good works? I'm not earning any brownie points with God by doing good works. Are you? I'm not. It's that God doesn't love me more if I do more good works. God's love is unconditional once for all. He has loved me in the Beloved. He loves me in Christ. He's accepted me in Christ. But those good works are for what? So that they will turn and say, "That look at who Gil serves. He serves God the Creator. He serves Jesus Christ, His Son." And those good works should point back to whom we serve. And here it's telling us that God is the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you in those good works, in those good words. And as you're doing those good words, and as you're doing the good works, what happens? The next section there says, and keep you from evil. You know, in our modern day society, we're used to multitasking. You know, that's you can do a bunch of things at the same time. And I think our young people, you know, I'm at the end of those young people, we're going to have all sorts of mental problems, I think, by the time we get to be 80, if we make it. Because we're so in tune doing all these different things at the same time. But guess what? I don't think you can do good and evil at the same time. I don't think you can multitask that one. So if your mind is filled with the good that God has for you, there is no room for evil. And he's saying here, God is faithful and he will establish you and he will keep you from that evil. Because as you're establishing the good things that God has for you, there's no room for evil. Okay? I've learned over time, when I fall into sin, it's because I've been playing with it with my mind. And I've been looking and doing things that I ought not to say or do or think about. And then I slip into that direction. I have to confess and say, Lord, yeah, I just didn't fall into it. I gradually guided myself in that direction. And that could be anything. A word of criticism, a word of murmuring. It's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy to do because we leave room. When we're doing good, if we're doing good, if we're established in the good, I would say it's impossible to do the evil. Those two things, light and darkness, do not coincide. You know? They don't. They don't. Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. I think Paul here is saying, okay, our trust is in God, that He's going to touch your lives to such a way that you're doing what He wants you to do and you will do what He wants you to do. So it's a present and a future. That Paul's confidence is not in the Thessalonians, but in God, who will touch their lives, who will direct their lives so that today they're doing what they're supposed to do and tomorrow they'll do it too. And, you know, as I work with people, I'm thinking, we blow it. I blow it. But when I look to the Lord and I say, Lord, work in this individual. Isn't that your prayer with other people? Lord, work in this individual so that they will do what you want for them to do today and tomorrow. Huh? We're praying for some of these kids in the kids club in Awana, you know. that are rambunctious, that have all sorts of energy. What do we want them to do? That God would touch their lives so that they do today what they're supposed to do, and that will carry on into tomorrow. Is that what you want? That's what I want. I want that for my own kids, but I want that as I see the other children. That's what I want for them too. That's what God wants for us. That's what Paul is asking God for these Thessalonians. And then verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So Paul is saying, my hope is God's going to direct you into this love for God. Because you know, brethren, if you're in love with God, it's hard to get stuck on all these other things. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, as I spoke on Sunday. If we are caught up with Christ, it doesn't matter about evolution, does it? It doesn't matter where I come from. If I'm caught up with Christ, if I love God today, all those other things, you know what they do? They become secondary. They're not that important. And I look at that and I say, how often we lack in our love. And I look at that. How is your love towards God? How is your love tonight towards God? Because I tell you, if your love towards God is that warm, strong, I desire to please Him, well, it's going to keep you from a lot of different things that you shouldn't be doing. And it's going to take you to all those things that you ought to be doing. Because if I love God, I'm going to love His Word. If I love God, I want to please God. If I love God, I will do those things for others. And we were talking to our son, our youngest son, this morning, and just saying, how are you serving God? Well, our service to God is directly related to our love for God. If I love God, I serve God. If I don't love God, I won't serve. And that service is for other people. It's directly related. And what else did he say? And direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. Michael prayed earlier about the Lord's coming. You know, the things that we do should be in light of the fact that Christ is coming. Isn't it? You know, today I spent hours looking at tickets on how to get to Spain in the next coming weeks. I may not use those tickets. The Lord may come. But what if He doesn't? But I'm patiently waiting for the Lord to come, that the Lord will work through things. You know, some of those kids there in that kids club may end up being in here in 30 years from now. Look at Bobby. 40-something years ago, Bobby was one of those kids on the street, weren't you, Bobby? Yeah. And now he's part of the meeting here. Wouldn't it be awesome? It's possible. And there's a miracle in Bobby right there. You know, here he is. And how many of those kids? But we're patiently awaiting. The Lord may come, but if He doesn't, we're working, waiting for that coming. And as we're waiting, what do? We're just a handful of believers here today. We're here to pray, aren't we? You know, I remember hearing a message by Bill McDonald, something that really struck me. Do you really believe that as you're waiting for the Lord's coming and that you're praying, you can change history? Do you think that our prayer meeting tonight could change the course of someone's life? That it could change the course of a nation? Think about it. We are approaching the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who has all power. He's willing and able to work. And if we enter in how He asks us to enter in, who knows? Maybe the government in Morocco would change its mind. And all 30-something of those missionaries will be welcomed back. Do you think that could happen? I think so. If it's God's will, you better believe it'll happen. But do we have the faith to trust in what God is doing? So Paul is praying. Pray for us. Direct our minds and our hearts towards God. That's what we want, don't we? So, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You are a faithful God. A God who is encouraged us to come into the Holy of Holies. A God who has encouraged us by His goodness to ask. And Lord, You've told us that if we ask, we will receive. That if we seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be opened. Father, we pray that as we pray tonight, we would pray with Your glory in mind. That as our prayer requests go up, both audibly and silently, that the God of heaven would work. Work miracles. Father, we desire to see lives changed. And Lord, we do not have the power to change lives, but You do. Lord, we ask that You would intervene in countries and nations. Lord, we know You can. So, Father, we would pray tonight as we bring before You our requests that You would work mightily, that You would glorify Yourself. For we ask in Jesus' name.